I think it was probably considered inevitable in the long term, but the fact that it happened so quickly certainly was a surprise. It wasn't something that was raised through the special subcommittee for regionalism process, which was set up by under the framework for Pacific regionalism. It occurred despite opposition from pro-independence groups within those countries. I think it has been a surprise.
Has the forum effectively ridden roughshod then over those concerns, particularly from the Kanak minority in New Caledonia?
A number of commentators have said that Australia and New Zealand have been pushing for this, and certainly you could understand that with Fiji's continued reluctance to participate in forum activities, at least in a full capacity, a move like this could be seen as designed to bolster the forum.
So in some ways, is this the offering of a carrot, if you like, to Frank Bainimarama, trying to essentially do what he has asked for, either all in or nobody in, certainly as far as Australia and New Zealand are concerned?
Well, not strictly. I mean, I guess what Frank had said was that Australia and New Zealand have to either leave the forum or that all donors should join the forum. We're not seeing donors as such join the forum, rather we're seeing the two French territories join. So I wouldn't take it that far. I would actually argue that instead it's designed to counter his efforts to undermine the forum by strengthening it.
Now, on the question of the Pacer Plus trade deal, we know PNG has effectively opted out. Fiji have now opted out as well. Vanuatu have voiced concerns. But the forum doesn't really seem to have addressed any of those issues at all.
No, and this was a really surprising thing about the leaders' communique. It sort of glossed over, it certainly glossed over Fiji's decision not to participate. And it didn't mention Vanuatu's concerns whatsoever. It was really interesting that leaders could release such a statement. Another interesting development is that it confirmed the fact that PNG will not participate in Pacer Plus. Previously, it had just been the trade minister for PNG that had said that PNG would not participate, but at this meeting, O'Neill came out and said it wasn't in PNG's best interests, but then rather bizarrely went on to say that it was in the interests of other Pacific Island countries.
But are we not in a situation now that without PNG, without Fiji, and potentially without Vanuatu, that this whole trade deal after, 7 years of negotiations begins to look increasingly pointless and certainly very hard to sign off on a final deal?
I think it can be signed off on without those three countries. I think legally there's no impediment to that. But yes, it does begin to look pointless. Pacer Plus, I think, has really been driven by Australia and New Zealand. The other Pacific Island countries, other forum member countries, don't see a great deal in it for them. They've been very strident in advocating for increased labour mobility. That's now a side deal, so it's not strictly part of the agreement. I do think its impact is going to be limited.
What's your take on the almost total absence of discussion on the West Papuan issue? One paragraph, four lines, buried deep in the communique is all that was said about West Papua and the human rights issues there.
Yeah, this was another surprising outcome of the leaders' communique. Last year, the language is always expected to be diplomatic. Last year it was diplomatic, but at the very least leaders called for a fact-finding mission, which Indonesia then went on to oppose. But this year the language is even more diplomatic, to put it that way. It's basically leaders just call for an open and constructive dialogue with Indonesia, and that's despite the fact that so many of the submissions from the public and civil society under the framework for Pacific regionalism called for human rights abuses in West Papua to be addressed. So I think this, the take of Tess Newton Cain and myself is that this is due to pressure from the big countries. That's not just Australia and New Zealand, but also Papua New Guinea and Fiji, and that the fact that the foreign ministers met in August in an inaugural standing meeting, we believe that that's had a role.
Would you say that the Pacific Islands Forum is more or less relevant now than it has been in the past? Because some cynics, looking at the communique and seeing really how little of substance there is in there, might argue this is just an annual gathering and the leaders get to strut around in the latest Pacific fashion wear and take the nice photographs and have a cosy chat. But nothing of substance, certainly this year, seems to have emerged at all.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I think there have been issues of importance for the Pacific that have been raised by the communique, things like climate change, for example. Not a great deal new has been said, but still it has been an opportunity for leaders to reiterate their commitment to addressing issues such as climate change. I think, if anything, taking a longer-term view, the admittance of New Caledonia and French Polynesia may be seen as strengthening the relevance of the forum, because an ongoing criticism historically of the forum has been that it's a rather Anglophone forum. It excludes a good part of the Pacific.
Would you agree, perhaps, that the forum as a whole does begin to look a little bit, because of developments this year by a somewhat disparate group, but within the forum, the smaller island states, the subgrouping, they seem to be gathering strength and momentum. They seem to be having a louder voice and a bigger say now.
Absolutely, and I think that's a really positive development. Inevitably, in a grouping like the forum, there will always be disagreements between countries. So I think highlighting the importance of sub-regional groupings is a really important development, and I think that can only strengthen the forum.